What up, what up, what up, everybody? This is the Dr. Football Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Dennis Tien. Yes, I am a real doctor, but we are not talking medicine. We are talking football. We are talking the New England Patriots. And this podcast is my sanctuary, my refuge from the rigorous world of clinical medicine. And with me, as always, on this island is my main man, the CEO of Hedge Better, Justin Fine. Justin, what's going on, brother?
I'm doing well, man. It's a beautiful spring day here in Braintree, Massachusetts. Celtics about to start the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. NFL schedule was just released. It's a good week.
It's a good week, and it's a lot warmer than predicted today. They said it was going to be in like the 60s.
Yeah, I'm in
like
a jacket. I was a little cool this morning. I didn't realize it was going to be this warm. Yeah.
We should give a shout out to all the allergy and asthma sufferers out there, because the pollen counts
bad,
are like through the roof.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting hammered, but we'll try to create a distraction for everyone with this is the schedule release edition of the podcast. And we are going to just kind of break down the Patriots schedule and go through it. And now that we have the roadmap, and I think that we know who the opponents were for a long time, but once you see when and where the games are, the structure of everything, I think it puts a lot of it into focus.
Yeah. I mean, 100%, you know, it's a schedule, and I think we probably say the same thing every year, but to me, I think it's a difficult schedule with winnable games. And it starts out hot right out of the gate.
It does. It really does. And there's no quarter. And let's go, because that's going to actually segue perfectly into the kickoff, which is the opening take. We start every episode of the podcast off with to set the table for the conversation. And this week's kickoff, I do want to talk about the schedule, because I've heard from a lot of places this week and a lot of people observing that the Patriots schedule is really hard this year. And to me, what I want to say is I don't want to hear that. I'm done with hearing about how hard the schedule is. Do you know what it means, Justin, if half the teams in the league are better than you and half the teams in the league are worse than you? Do you know what that makes you?
Mediocre.
It makes you mediocre. And you look across the league, Cleveland Browns, the LA Chargers, Arizona Cardinals, Detroit Lions, Chicago Bears. These are teams that are stuck in perpetual mediocrity. They have a tough schedule, tough year, bad luck. They win 5 or 6 games. You know, they have a good year. Things come together. They win 8, 9, 10 games. Maybe they sneak into the back end of the playoffs. The New England Patriots are in that zone. And they have been since Tom Brady left Foxborough. The New England Patriots are a mediocre middling team. Well, guess what? Mediocre middling teams don't compete for Super Bowls, don't win Super Bowls. So for the Patriots to be the kind of team that we all expected them to be, as long as Bill Belichick is the coach, or at least I still kind of do, they have to go out and win tough games in tough stadiums, in tough situations. Sorry, you don't get half your games every year against the Atlanta Falcons, the Carolina Panthers, the helpless, pathetic Jets in Arizona. You get a couple of those on most schedules, but you don't get 10, 11, 12 of those most years. And the Patriots have a couple games this year that are easy games, and they have some games that are tough games. They're going to have to win tough games to take the next step. This is the fourth season since Tom Brady left Foxborough. This is Mac Jones's third season as a starting quarterback. Mac Jones has started 35 games for the New England Patriots as their starting quarterback. Last year, and if you listen to the podcast, you know this, okay, I felt that there was just too much impediment in Mac Jones's way to be successful. And I did not, and I have not held him totally accountable for what happened last year. I gave him a free pass, because it was such a disaster. It was a debacle. The gloves are off this year. Mac, this is your third year. You're a good quarterback in this league. It's time to prove it. There's no more excuse making. The team isn't perfect. We know that. There are holes on this roster. Your franchise quarterback or anything close to it, you go out there and you still find ways to win enough games for your team to be a good team, even with a tough schedule. I don't want to hear about how tough the schedule is. If this team can't win with a reasonably challenging schedule in front of them, then it's time to blow it all up. Justin, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. A couple things stand out, you know, listening to you talk, and I think this goes back to the point of mediocrity, right? The Patriots have become a mediocre team. They're falling into a, you know, a mediocre franchise. I personally don't think, you know, you said there's a couple easy games in the schedule. I'm looking through it. I don't think there are any give me games. The three games that I pick out, and I, you know, to me, I think they're the easiest. I still think we could easily lose those games. I mean, there really is not a guaranteed win on this schedule. And I think that speaks A, to the fact that it's a tough schedule, and B, to the fact that this team is in fact mediocre, and we cannot count on them for easy wins anymore against teams that they should beat.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's more the latter than the former. It's more a reflection on the Patriots and the schedule. If this was the 14-2 type Brady Belichick Patriots of a few years ago, would you fear this schedule?
I wouldn't fear it, but I still think this is probably just looking at the divisions that they have to go up against, looking at some of, you know, the non-conference games that they got, I do think it's a tough schedule.
Right. Well, but it would be the difference between like a 14-win Patriots team and a 12-win Patriots team, maybe.
Right. And then, you know, maybe this isn't the time and place to drop this, but I will say, you know, my hot take, it's been growing on me more and more. And, you know, speaking of, you know, this being Mac Jones' time, and you know, what do you do if things don't work out this year? I've been hearing some rumblings. I'm going to say it. I think Bailey Zappe will start more games for the New England Patriots in the 2023 NFL season than Mac Jones. And I think a factor of that is going to be the schedule to start out for the Patriots, which, you know, I think is a little tough. I think Mac could get off to a tough start and be playing from behind.
Yeah, I mean, if that happens, then it's probably time to blow it up. And I guess maybe if Zappe comes in and starts and looks really good, maybe you keep him around. But clearly, you know, one of the hallmarks of a mediocre franchise, a mediocre team, is that they don't have stability at the quarterback position. I mean, those two things go hand in hand. So if the guy you just drafted in the first round 3 years ago can't hold the job in the fourth, in his third season, you're kind of screwed as a franchise anyways. And, you know, unless, you know, they just got exceptionally lucky and they happen to pull a star in Bailey Zappe in the fourth round, which I think is so unlikely, most likely what that would really say is this team is kind of screwed.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't want to necessarily go too screwed because I don't want to rule out the potential that Bailey's happy could be a good starting quarterback. And I also don't want to rule out the potential that Mac Jones comes out and has a good year. Right. But I do to your point. Yes. 100%. If we get into this pattern of revolving door at quarterback, it's 100% going to be the kind of the capstone on the descent into mediocrity.
Well, let's go back to that, because I think we're on the same page here on one thing, which is I made a lot of excuses for Mac Jones last year. I actually think, and I said this previously on the podcast, but you look at his production down the stretch, 11 touchdowns, 4 picks, last 8 games. He actually played a lot better once he got healthy. But there was a lot last year working against him. And most of all was the fact that he had completely incompetent people coaching him. And that's why I gave him a free pass. But I'm out of free passes for Mac Jones. I'm completely out of them. It's put up or shut up time for Mac Jones. Like, I'm not going to be making excuses for Mac Jones in year 3 like I did for him in year 2. And I know this team isn't perfect. The receivers are mediocre. We don't have 100% clarity on the offensive line. It's certainly not a position of strength or stability right now. That could change as the year goes on. Maybe the coaching will help with that. The bottom line is, there are no more excuses. left for Mac Jones. Like, okay, he doesn't throw for 45 touchdowns because he doesn't have Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle.
Right.
That's fine. But he should be a good quarterback this year. You should be able to see. He should throw for 30 touchdowns. He should throw for 4,000 yards. They should have an advantage in most games that they play because he's their quarterback. And if you can't say that at the end of this year, regardless of who's out there on the field with him, I'm sorry. It's time to move in another direction. I went through all last year making excuses for Mac, and I think fairly and rightfully so. That is over in year three.
Yeah, I agree completely. This is, you know, the definition of, all right, put up or shut up, right? I mean, you know, I think Mac is 100% on the hot seat, and I think it's going to tell us a lot about who he is as a player, what type of, you know, mental game he's working with. And just, again, his potential to be a franchise quarterback. I mean, we brought in a competent you know, offensive coordinator. Again, his weapons aren't the greatest, but I don't think they're the worst in the world. And, you know, we gave him a little help in the offensive line. I know the offensive line's a big component. We talked about Mac's success in a clean pocket versus a non-clean pocket. But yeah, I mean, 100%, this guy has to come out and improve that he deserved to be a number, you know, a first round pick. He deserves to be a franchise quarterback. And,
Build a franchise around him.
Yeah, you can build a franchise around him. I mean, at this point, he hasn't done anything. Again, there has been a lot of excuses, valid excuses, but there hasn't been anything that I think makes us say that Mac Jones should be a franchise quarterback.
See, it's hard to compare Mac to Brady. It's hard to compare anyone to Brady.
Right.
Because they're always going to fail and lose in the comparison. Brady's a once-in-a-century player. I find comparisons to Drew Bledsoe to be more reasonable and fair. And I watched this team be one of the worst teams, this is before you were born, in the NFL, before Bledsoe. Just an absolute dregs of the league franchise, 1-15, 2-14. They bring in Drew Bledsoe. They bring in Bill Parcells. Immediately, they're respectable. Now, they lost a lot of games that first year. Bledsoe didn't put up great numbers. But you could see with your eyes.
Yeah.
You could see with your eyes that Bledsoe gave them a chance in every game, that they generally had an advantage. Okay, over most of the teams they played, and that Bledsoe had the ability to be a good quarterback. And that's all he was. He was a very good quarterback. He was not a great quarterback, but you could see how he elevated the franchise around him.
Right.
Even though there were still holes on that team, on that roster, that 94 Patriots team, they made the playoffs. Hardly a complete team. He's throwing to Vincent Brisby and Ray Crittenden and Michael Tim and all these guys, these no-name guys. But he made them better players. That's what we need to see from Mac Jones this year. It doesn't have to be an MVP caliber year, but you have to be able to say that this guy is elevating the people around him. We haven't seen that yet. We made excuses last year because it wasn't a fair situation. It's all done now. Let's get into the actual schedule, Justin. Let's go through kind of not necessarily week by week, but just kind of from beginning to end. And let's share some of our observations. I want to start in week one, as you know, much publicized this week. The Patriots will be hosting the Philadelphia Eagles in that first game. Most notably of all, the fact that Tom Brady will be back and will be honored. We were just talking about Taylor Swift before we went on the air and what an amazingly tough ticket that show is. Have you looked and seen the prices for this Patriots-Eagles game already?
I don't even want to see. Oh, my God. I can only imagine.
Through the roof. Through the roof. $2,000 to get into the lower bowl. $1,800 a ticket.
I mean, I'd kill to be at that game, and I'm sure most Patriots fans would, but, you know, that is steep. Hey, it's one of those you're only going to get one opportunity to ever go and see that. You know what I mean?
Last chance to pay tribute to the GOAT. People are knocking down the door in order to do it, to get there. What are your thoughts on the fact that they're honoring Brady so quickly after his retirement?
I actually kind of like it because you don't want to give Tampa Bay a chance to do it first, right? You definitely want him to be remembered as a Patriot, which I know most people will, but I, you know, a couple successful years in Tampa, a Super Bowl, you don't need them going and stealing and, you know, stealing your glory, right? So I kind of like them being the first movers on the retirement. And I like getting it out of the way, too. I like getting it out of the way. I don't want that looming over the team. You know, oh, when are they going to do something for Brady? When are they going to bring Brady back? Is there an issue with Brady and Belichick? An issue with Brady and Kraft? Why haven't they done anything? You know that's going to be an ongoing narrative. I like the fact that you put that to bed opening week. Week one, you know, again, has typically, you know, been known to have ceremonies and festivities. I mean, even, you know, think back to when the Patriots won Super Bowls and you had parades and in concerts before the games. I mean, get your distractions out of the way in week one and don't have that looming over your head. I think it will be a big distraction, but I think Belichick will do his best to make sure that, you know, Robert and the organization deals with Brady's return and he has the team focused on Philadelphia.
Do you think it's an unfair position to put Mac Jones in? To have Brady there in the first game against a really tough, not just opponent, but like a really tough defense, right? Like going to be an attacking, aggressive defense, terrific front seven, tough matchup anyways. Patriots are going to be probably 7-point underdogs anyways, plus. And now you got Tom Brady there watching Mac.
You know, I kind of love it. I kind of love it. I love the idea of saying, hey, Mac, this is your year. Get out there and start on week one and put him in a hype. I mean, look, if he makes it to a Super Bowl, that's going to be way more of a high pressure, high intensity environment than opening week with Tom Brady in a good defense. You know what I mean? So, like, put this kid to the test. Let's see how he goes out on week one. Can he perform against arguably, or I don't even think it's arguably, the best defense in the NFL with the GOAT watching? Knowing that there's questions surrounding his status, I want to see it. I want to see this. I want to see this kid push to his limits and see how he responds. That'll tell me what if he's a franchise quarterback or not.
I couldn't agree more. I love the fact that they're doing this. It's the right thing to do for a multitude of reasons. I can't believe people have criticized them for wanting to be associated with Brady, for wanting to bring Brady in. Excuse me. He was the quarterback for 20 of their 60 years of existence. I mean, Of course they want him back. He's the greatest player in the history of the league. He wore their uniform. He's certainly the greatest player that ever played for the franchise. Why do we have to criticize the Patriots, or people criticize the Patriots, because they want to honor him as soon as possible? I absolutely think it's fitting, appropriate, the right thing to do. And I don't care if Mac Jones is going to feel a little pressure. It's time. Agreed. It's time to get over it, kid. It's time to handle the pressure and still perform. Belichick, Kraft cannot hand everything to Mac Jones on a silver platter. Maybe that's part of Mac's problem. Like we talked about last week, is things were a little too easy for him at Alabama and the pressure wasn't as much as maybe it could have been because of the team he had around him, the situation, the support he had. He's got to face some adversity. So if you can't handle the fact that the GOAT is there watching you, you can't handle a lot of what it means to be the franchise starting quarterback for a supposed marquee franchise. So I have zero problem with them doing this.
100%. And don't forget, Mac Jones went up against Tom Brady head to head and he actually played an okay game. We were at that game.
That's right. He did.
And
well.
The Patriots had a chance to win that game. So like if Mac Jones could go out and play right across from the best and directly compete with the best quarterback of all time, he should certainly be able to go out there and perform when he's in the stands.
Absolutely. Now, when you look at the first month of this schedule, Justin, this is a tough first 4 weeks for the Patriots. They got Eagles, Dolphins at home, at Jets, at Cowboys. There's certainly no gimme in there. I look at this schedule, and I think that week two game against the Dolphins is the most winnable game on that schedule. Almost a must-win type game, if you think about it. How does that make you feel that the Patriots have had so much trouble with the Miami Dolphins either here or in Miami, frankly? It's week two. Tua might have some injury history, but he's probably likely to be healthy. The Patriots have a terrible time slowing Tagliavoloa down. How does it make you feel when you look at that first month of the season and you see that week two game with the Dolphins is the most winnable game on the schedule? Or maybe it isn't. Maybe you disagree.
No, I 100% agree. I think that is the most winnable game on the schedule. And it's a very tough game, right? So it's very difficult, you know, as a Patriots fan to look at the first four games and feel super, you know, excited and optimistic about, you know, your start to the season and your prospects for what your record could look like. With that being said, right, I think the Patriots can compete. Now, look, I really wouldn't be shocked if the Eagles come out and blow us out on opening night, right? But I really do think the Patriots can be competitive in those next three games. I think they can be competitive with the Dolphins. I think they can be competitive with the Jets. And I think they can be competitive with the Cowboys. I think your goal for the Patriots is you have to come out of that four-week stretch with at least one win. And if you get two, you're considering it, you know, a huge victory, a huge victory.
Don't forget, they've had back-to-back 1-3 starts in each of Mac Jones's first 2 years. And it looks like they're queued up for another one. I agree with you. Like, you can't go 0-4 because that's really hard to overcome that. 1-3 is an uphill battle, but it's surmountable. You can overcome a 1-3 start. It's imaginable. It's not unlikely. An 0-4 start is very rare for a team to overcome that. You look at the schedule, all four of these games are very losable games. I'm not sure this team will be favored right now anyways, and this will change based on what happens. You know, if they come out and win against the Eagles, they're going to be favored against the Dolphins. But right now, this team is probably the underdog. If you look at the future lines, and I know a lot of sports books are publishing these now, I guarantee you the Patriots are the underdog in all four of these games. They have to win one of these four games. And if they win a second, I think you have to be thrilled if you're a Patriots fan. Week three game against the Jets. What are your thoughts on the fact that they are getting the Jets early in their schedule? I think that is a little bit of a good thing for the Pats. Mm-hmm. You know, Rodgers coming in, new quarterback, new offensive system. I feel like going down to the Meadowlands is going to be tough at any point this year, tougher than it's been at least. And it always seems like the Patriots, no matter who's playing quarterback for the Jets, have a tough time down there. But to me, I think this is a good spot to get the Jets in week three. It's not the opening week when things are really going to be crazy high energy, but it's still early enough in the year where maybe there are still some growing pains on the Jets side that are being worked out.
Yeah, that's kind of my thought process too, is that I think, you know, I would expect it's going to take a little bit of time for Aaron Rodgers and this Jets team to gel. You know, they're getting a lot of players back from injury that I would expect to, you know, have maybe some eased workloads or, you know, not get off to the fastest start to begin the season. So, yeah, I think you get the Jets at a really good time. Great, great opportunity to go and steal one there. I mean, look, the Dolphins and the Jets are both winnable games. If you can steal those two games, start off 2-2 maybe and be 2-0 in the division, you've really, really helped yourself out for a very tough, long season.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, that's definitely the spot right there. What if the Patriots are 0-3? I look at that Dallas game.
Yeah.
And I look at that game as just a game that, you know, every year there's that one or two games we just look at it and, you know, it's a tough draw. It's going to Kansas City on a Monday night. It's going to, you know, Baltimore on Sunday Night Football. It's a game that you're probably, even under the best of circumstances, going to have a hard time winning. I look at that Dallas game and I say to myself, dear God, I hope this team is not 0-3 and in a must-win situation going into that week four game, because I see that as a very tough game on the road, on the turf field, for them to win. They struggled to stop Dak Prescott 2 years ago.
Yeah, they did. You know, you hope this is a secondary that's a little bit more talented, a little bit deeper, a little bit more experienced. I mean, I know they have a lot of young guys, but you know, Marcus and Jack Jones another year. Jonathan Jones, a veteran at this point, you know, some of those safeties, guys like Kyle Duggar that you expect to be real playmakers back there. I actually, you know, at Dallas is a tough draw, but I have a weird feeling about that game. And my weird feeling, I think, stems from the fact that I feel like Dallas is going to be a disappointment this year. I do. I think that, I think there's a lot of pressure on them. I think, you know, to me, Dallas has just been like a team for the last 4 or 5 years that's just waiting for something to happen that just completely dismantles this franchise. And I think it could be this. I think it could be this year. I think they could have a down year and send themselves into complete disarray. I may be wrong.
Well, I feel the opposite way, to be honest with you. Yeah. I think Dallas will be right up there with Philadelphia. But to your point, right? Like, Dak Prescott did not have his best year last year.
Not at all.
And I feel like if he stacks another bad year this year on top of that, people are really going to start to question whether he is actually a franchise quarterback. Don't forget, when he came into the league and he was successful at the beginning, that team was stacked. They were stacked. And they're really not stacked anymore. I do like they brought in Brandon Cooks because that's really what they needed. They have Gallup. They have CeeDee Lamb. They have good talent now. If Prescott has another kind of mediocre up and down year, I think he turned the ball over a ton last year, was his real Achilles heel.
He did, yeah.
People are going to really start to question that Dallas team. So maybe it's not as tough a game as it appears to me, but I have to say, when I look at that game, I have a hard time seeing the Patriots winning in that stadium, on that turf field, you know, against a team that we know can score points. Based on what we saw 2 years ago, I think that's a tough spot. So it would be a terrible thing if the Patriots were playing for their season 0-3 in Dallas. Now, I think, just to be clear, I actually think the Patriots have a better chance of beating the Eagles at home in week one than the Cowboys.
Interesting.
Now, that's my funny feeling. That's my funny feeling. You say you have a funny feeling about the Cowboys game. I have a funny feeling about that Eagles game. I think the Patriots are going to win that game or be right in that game, have a chance to win it because it's the opener, because it's at home. I don't know. I just have a funny feeling about that things aren't going to go quite as hunky dory right from the get go. Even though we all think the Eagles are going to be a terrific team and on paper they look like it, I just have a hunch that in week one, the Patriots will play a really good game.
All right. I like that.
So we'll see. All right. Next up after the Cowboys, 0-4. The Patriots host the Saints, right?
Yes.
Which I think we can probably say that's the first game that I'd say they're favored in at this point.
Most people
are probably calling that a win. Should we be a little more cautious about that Saints game? They're not a bad team. Good defense. Derek Carr has beat the Patriots last year.
We should 100% be cautious. The Saints are the type of team that can come and give the Patriots trouble. They have a good offensive line. They have a good defensive line. And they have weapons. That is a deep, deep receiving core stacked with weapons. They're stacked with weapons in the backfield. I mean, Derek Carr, you know, I think he's a talented loser, but put some weapons around him. You know, he's got a good chance to go out and win a game.
A talented loser does not mean a bad player.
No, 100%. And again, this is like a decent team with a decent defense. They're at home. They're not at home, but I don't think this is an easy game by any means.
I mean, to your point, like these are going up against a mediocre Patriots team. You're going up against Mac Jones, a team that's been 500 the last 3 years. These are the kind of games that talented losers like Derek Carr tend to do really well in. That's how they keep their jobs.
100%.
And how they throw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. But they never win against really tough teams in tough spots. Playing a mediocre Patriots team in the first week of October, this is when Derek Carr shines.
And don't forget, too, what have been the teams that have given the Patriots fits? I mean, you know, I know we've seen them lose some ridiculous games, but the teams that have notoriously given the Patriots fits have been the ones that have a lot of weapons on offense and can spread it out and expose some of the, the lack of talent in the secondary. And when I say lack of talent, not that they're not a good secondary. It's that we've said they don't have a 1A cornerback back there right now. They brought in Christian Gonzalez. Maybe that will change. I mean, it's asking a lot out of a rookie. But point being is that this Saints team, you're going up against Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, and Chris Olave, who is becoming a superstar.
Olave scares me way more than Michael Thomas, by the way.
For sure. Yeah. But still, if the three of them are healthy,
right.
Don't forget, Jarvis Landry is your third receiver. Right. I take him as the third receiver in the Patriots. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So that's the type of a team, especially if Derek Carr has a good game. That's the type of team that can come out and give you a fit.
Right. And just to point out how much relevance it has, the Saints did beat the Patriots in Foxborough
with
Jameis Winston a couple years ago. So I don't think, as Patriots fans, we're all going to circle this one as an automatic win. I don't think it necessarily should be looked at that way. And I would say the same thing, Justin, about the game the week after that in Las Vegas. That almost actually kind of qualifies as a tough game. I mean, I want to call it a 50-50 game, but really, objectively, is it? I mean, the Raiders beat the Patriots last year. They've made a couple big moves this offseason. Jimmy Garoppolo, if he's healthy, is a damn good quarterback. They have weapons. They're going to be better. I think Garoppolo is an upgrade over Derek Carr, personally. I think he's a better quarterback. You might disagree. That Raiders team is going to be, in Las Vegas, a very tough game for the Patriots. These are the kind of games the Patriots have to win to have this year not be a total disaster. I don't know. I think it's a tough spot for the Patriots going out to Vegas against Josh, against Jimmy, assuming he's healthy. Certainly no automatic win.
Yeah, and it's funny too because, you know, when I look at the schedule, I look at this and I say on paper, this should be the easiest game. I think the Raiders may be the worst roster that they face, right? But for the reasons you just said, you're going up against a guy who has everything to prove against his mentor and former head coach, right? You're going up against a quarterback who, again, is looking for something to prove, but he's shown that he's a good starting quarterback and this organization moved on from him. It's almost like a revenge game for him, right? And then we blew the game there last year in just an awful, awful fashion out in Vegas. For those reasons, you can't look at this and say it should be an easy win. You know, you just can't. But on paper, this should be their easiest victory.
Well, I think when we go through the schedule as Patriots fans or people interested in the Patriots, you know, these are the games that I think we're glancing over when.
Right, but he can't. So I think that was my point earlier, is that
right.
I think this is arguably either the easiest or second easiest game in their schedule, and we're sitting here debating like if this is a difficult game or potentially a loss for them.
Absolutely. The week after that, okay, the litmus test, as it's been for the last 3 or 4 years, certainly since Brady left, which is Buffalo in Foxborough. The Bills have absolutely eaten the Patriots' lunch overall over the last 4 years. And for some reason, it's worse in Foxborough than it is in Buffalo. The Patriots have been more competitive with the Bills in Buffalo than they have been at home. I still think no matter what happens in those first 6 weeks, if the Patriots do get off to a good start, they're 4-2, they're 5-1, everything goes well. Until they do it against Buffalo, I'm not going to believe in this team. Until they can slow down Josh Allen, I'm not going to believe fully in this defense. The Patriots played their best game in probably 3 or 4 years against Buffalo last year in the last game, should have won the game, and shot themselves in the foot by giving up a absurd 2 kickoff returns for touchdowns in the same game. Any thoughts, Justin, on this one?
So I think this is the year that the Patriots finally get one on the Buffalo Bills. I do. I feel like it's been building up to it. But to your point, is this the game, right? I almost feel better, like you said, about the Patriots going to Buffalo than I do about them hosting Buffalo. My gut tells me it's going to be another close game that the Patriots lose in the heartbreaker. But again, it wouldn't shock me if they win. I think they win. I think they win one in this series this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope so, because if they can't compete with Buffalo, then that's it. I mean, right. they're toast, and then they're relegated to wild card, and they're really not the kind of franchise kind of team we want them to be. And then after that, at the Dolphins, I mean, this has been a house of horrors for the Patriots in Miami the last few years. They don't win in Miami. They make Tua Tagovailoa look like Joe Montana every time they go to Miami. They turn the ball over. They've played horrible. I think back to that first game last year, it was awful. I was at the game the year before in Miami, turned the ball over three times, awful. They don't want to be in a situation again where this is a must-win game for them, because they do not win in Miami for whatever reason since Brady has left.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they really do seem to struggle down there. It's funny. We talk about it like being like a curse almost jokingly, but it really does seem like they're cursed down there. And if Tua is healthy and this Dolphins team is healthy, that's going to be a tough game. It's a tough divisional game. The Dolphins games are always tough. And like you said, in Miami, always trouble for the Patriots.
And it's a tough time to go down there because it's still really hot down there in October. Yeah. And it's starting to cool off by the mid-end of October up here.
Right. So you go back and you get that blast of heat again. Yeah.
Exactly. It's a huge disadvantage for the Patriots. I feel like whenever they go down there mid-season, I feel like they always struggle, have a hard time. And that brings us to the really, we just went through the first 8 weeks of the season, and I'm not sure any one of those eight games I can say I'm super confident the Patriots are going to win any of those eight games.
No.
The first game I feel that way about is week 9, the literal midpoint of the year.
Right.
They host the Commanders. That's a game the Patriots have to and should win. But to that point, it's very imaginable. This team is like 2-6 going into this game. I mean, yeah, it's possible. The week after that, and I think this is a tough break on the schedule, they play the Colts. Now, Colts at Patriots, if the game is in Foxborough, this is another layup for the Patriots, in my opinion. I don't see any way this Colts team comes into Gillette Stadium and beats this Patriots team unless something completely unforeseen happens between now and then. Even if we had Bailey Zappi, even if we have our third string quarterback, right, the Colts have nothing. They're a rebuilding team, rookie quarterback. Tough break that this game is now going to be played in Germany, because I think that equalizes it a little bit.
It does equalize it a little bit. I mean, look, at the end of the day, I think what it comes down to is I'll still take Bill Belichick over a rookie quarterback, right?
And a rookie coach.
And a rookie coach, yeah, right? So, you know, the Patriots, no matter where they play, they're going to have that going for them. But, you know, I let me ask you this. Would you rather play in Germany or in Indianapolis?
I'd rather probably play in Indianapolis, to be honest, right, with you.
Right.
But what I'd really rather do is play in Foxborough, because I mean, last year's game is the perfect example. The Patriots just had to show up, get out of bed, put on their uniforms, and they were going to win that game.
Right.
The Colts did nothing. Quite frankly, the Patriots did nothing. The Colts handed them the game. They're a rebuilding franchise. Who knows who's going to be playing quarterback for them? You bring them up here in a mid-November game. I feel like this should be an easy win. I still think, as you said, they will handle business in Germany, but I just feel like it's a wild card. I wish the Patriots could just roll out of bed, take care of business, get the easy W, and move into the bye week.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Like, in terms of when you look at the makeup of the schedule and the uphill battle they have, this game would be a great at home in Foxborough, like to mark it off in the win column. Like, they need all the help they can get. I will say their only saving grace is, as you just alluded, they are in a bye the following week. So it's not like they have to go play in Germany and then, you know, go travel to friggin' San Diego or something, right, the next week, you know?
Your thoughts on the morning game, Justin, as a casual fan, I love it.
I absolutely love it. I mean, I, you know, Sunday football, I think for all of us, is kind of a special day of the week during football season. But when I get to wake up and I have football on, yep, like right away, I love that.
But is it different when it's your team on there?
I don't think we've had that.
We've never had it.
We've never had it.
Right.
So, I mean, I'll say this. I, it makes it a little less convenient because, you know, I'd like to be able to watch the morning game a little bit more casually. I don't want to have to like commit to it at 9:30 a.m. But nevertheless, you know, I'd be happy to get up and start the day early with some Patriots football.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be different. That's for sure. You know, I do love that morning game. Those weeks that they have the morning game when yeah. it's not the Patriots playing, it's kind of like right. Thursday night football. I love Thursday night football as long as it's not the Patriots. When the Pats are in it, it's kind of a pain in the ass. We'll see. You know, for the 9:30, how that is going to feel. It's going to feel weird watching the Patriots early in the morning. I think that. At the end of the day, you know, it should be a unique experience that most fans will probably enjoy. Then they go to the bye week, Justin, after that trip to Germany, come back against a Giants team. I see this Giants team is taking a step back this year. Not a believer in Daniel Jones. I think they caught a lot of teams off guard, the Giants did last year. I think that they got hot at the right times. You look at the Giants down the stretch, they really kind of backed into the playoffs. I know they got hot and they beat that Minnesota team. They played a terrific game. Full credit to the Giants franchise. I still am not really a huge believer that team is going to be anything more than a kind of low average to average kind of team.
Yeah, I agree. I'm still not a believer in Daniel Jones. The Giants really didn't do much in terms of adding too much star power to that roster. They brought in, what's his name? The tight end from Vegas, Darren Waller. I mean, I think he'll be a nice addition, but
it's a big move.
It's a big move, but I mean, I'm not threatened by this team. Right. I'm not threatened by them at all. I would argue that this stretch of games coming up, starting with the Giants, these next 3 weeks may arguably be their most winnable stretch of three games. Across the whole schedule. And, you know, coming off the bye week against the Giants, you have to have that game. You just absolutely have to have it. And, you know, if you look at, you know, the schedule kind of as a whole, right? At that point, going from week 9 through week 12, you got the Commanders, you got the Colts, you got a bye, and you got the Giants. So that should really be a great stretch for you as the Patriots. You should be able to come away with 3 weeks, three wins, in a week of rest to come out rejuvenated for the second half of the year.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll even add into that the Chargers coming in here the following week.
Agreed.
I know everyone's all gaga about the Chargers because
Herbert
Justin
hasn't
Herbert
beat
throws,
us yet. Right?
Hasn't yeah. beat them yet. Hasn't won anything yet. Got embarrassed in the playoffs last year. And it's December in Foxborough. Is the LA Chargers going to come in here and beat the Patriots? I think this is highly unlikely. Like I am not, you know, from last year, and I stick with that position into this year. Like, I'm not sold on Justin Herbert. I don't care how pretty he throws the ball. I don't think he's a great quarterback yet. He puts up big numbers when it doesn't count. He got embarrassed in the playoffs last year. He hasn't won anything. People talk about this guy, and they put his name up there with Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. He is not at that level, and he might never be. I have seen many quarterbacks in my time as a fan, throw beautiful balls, okay? Tremendous physical talent. And they aren't good quarterbacks. They lure you in. They kill coaches. They kill franchises. But they don't ever win anything. I'm telling you, Justin Herbert is trending into that space. This is going to be, I believe, his fourth year coming in. Or it's his fourth year,
it's
right?
It's either fourth, if not
No, it's
fifth.
His fourth. Because yeah, Mac played him in his second and beat him. And then last year was his third. This is Justin Herbert's fourth year. And I'm sorry, that loss against Jacksonville last year was an embarrassing loss. Who are the Jacksonville Jaguars? You know, they got hot at the end. Okay, I know they're like the hot thing going into this year. If you're what people say, if Justin Herbert is what people say he is, he should have gone in there and dismantled that Jacksonville team. They're not a great team. They're a 9-8 team that made it into the playoffs by luck because the division sucked. And instead, what happened? He was the one that choked the game away and they got dismantled. So I think the Patriots will handle this. I would add the Chargers that list. I think that's a team the Patriots should beat at home. That brings us to what I would call the sneaky toughest game on the schedule. This is another game that I have a hard time seeing the Patriots win, and I'm just being honest, and that's the Patriots at the Steelers. Now, I know the Steelers are a middling team, just like the Patriots. On a short week, going into their stadium, their crowd will be behind them. I don't know. I have a bad feeling about this Patriots-Steelers game on a Thursday night in December.
You know, look, the thing that I look at in that game is that, you know, Kenny Pickett, while I do think he has potential, he hasn't done enough to tell me that I'm worried about going in and facing, you know, Kenny Pickett. That's still a quarterback that I think we can beat. You know, I really respect Mike Tomlin. I think he's a great coach. I do think it's a good roster with some good talent in Pittsburgh. But Bill Belichick has a way of dealing with young quarterbacks. He has a way of dealing with, I guess you could call them mediocre and below quarterbacks, right? And as of right now, unless Kenny Pickett does something crazy this year in terms of his progression, he is still a young, mediocre at best quarterback.
Mediocre at best. He threw 7 touchdowns and 11 picks last year.
Right.
That's awful.
Right.
And so, people talk about Mac Jones like he's garbage.
Right. So there you go.
Kenny Pickett sucked last year. He absolutely sucked. It was not even by rookie standards a good year. I don't fear this game because of Kenny Pickett. I fear this game because we're going into their stadium. They're a tough physical team. They have a good coach, and it's a short week. I just have a funny feeling about that.
Yeah, it could. I mean, hey, they'll be on a short week too, right? I mean, you know, the one thing that I'll say in this situation that I think will play a factor is, you know, I look at Kenny Pickett still being a second-year quarterback, and this is a primetime game. It's a primetime game in a big environment against a team, you know, an organization you have history with over the last couple of decades. I mean, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Kenny Pickett's shoulders. I mean, at that primetime game at home. So, you know, sometimes it might be nice to be the away team, and that I could see the Steelers being favored.
Yeah. I mean, it's a long way away, so we'll see. But if you're asking me, like looking at the schedule, if you said to me, what is the one game that, you know, looks like it should be a win? But you know how every time the schedule comes out, you do win-win, loss-loss, and there's always a couple that you're wrong on. There's a game that you think is going to be a tough game, it ends up being an easy game, or vice versa. I just have a funny feeling about this one. The next one I think is pretty clear, a tough game, Chiefs at Patriots. The good news, it's in Foxborough, Monday night in December. Who knows what kind of weather you'll have at that point. That can only help. The Patriots always play the Chiefs tough. This is a tough game. Anytime you face Mahomes and Reed, the Chiefs are going to be right in it again. They're going to be a Super Bowl caliber team again this year, as long as Mahomes is healthy. This should be a really tough game for the Patriots.
You know, it should be, but we seem to play the Chiefs well. We seem to play them tough, you know, even post Brady, right? You know, we almost beat them in Arrowhead with, what's his name?
Hoyer.
With Hoyer,
yeah.
Right? I actually expect us to be able to compete in this game. I do. I still don't think, you know, I think the Chiefs are good, but I don't think they have anything that makes them unbeatable. And if our offense is hitting a groove towards the end of the year, I don't think the Chiefs have the type of defense that can, you know, come in and completely shut you down at home. So I actually, in a weird way, think that this team may be able to compete, especially if their young secondary really starts coming into form second half of the year. I could see them competing. I have a weird feeling. See, just like you were saying about games that, you know, you expected to win that you lose, talking about games that you expected to lose, you got a weird feeling about. I have a weird feeling about this game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, to me, this stands out as one of the toughest games on their schedule. But I will say this, like, to your point, you know, compared to that, say the Cowboys game, or, you know, some of the other games, like I think this is a winnable game. I wouldn't be surprised if they won this game, but anytime you play Reed and Mahomes, it's an uphill battle. I mean, they are what the Patriots used to be, which is sort of the clear cut favorite going into every year, the coach quarterback combination that I think sets the standard for the league. And I think it will, you know, I think that by this point in the season, we'll obviously see whether this offense can score the kind of points that you need to score to beat a team like the Chiefs. Because, you know, right now we have no reason to believe that Mac in this offense can keep up with an offense like this. That could be very different by week 15. We don't know, but I think, let's face it, to get to the position where you're winning Super Bowls, competing for Super Bowls at the top of the conference, you need to be able to go toe to toe with a team like the Chiefs, just like Joe Burrow does, just like Josh Allen does.
Yeah.
So that's what the Patriots have to do to get to the next level. Christmas Eve night game against the Broncos. I hate the Patriots playing on Christmas Eve. I'm thankful it's not at home because I wouldn't be going. What a pain in the ass it is. Anyone that has kids knows Christmas Eve is a crazy time. It's a busy time, and just in of itself. And now we're throwing a Patriots game into the mix. Hate it. Wouldn't mind it if there was an NFL game on to keep an eyeballs on. But, you know, I have to watch every play of the Patriots. I hate the Patriots playing on Christmas Eve, Justin.
I mean, yeah, you know, obviously on Christmas Eve, you're usually busy doing stuff. I love to be able to, like you said, sit down and really dedicate my attention to the Patriots. You know, I don't have kids, obviously, so maybe I have a little bit more of leeway on Christmas Eve, I guess you could say. But I don't hate it. I don't hate having a little bit of New England Patriots on Christmas Eve. It's kind of nice. But yes, I can see how for, you know, a parent of three and, you know, for functional purposes, it's not the most timely.
If it was Christmas Eve day, I don't mind it. I actually kind of dig it, to be honest with you. Like last year, the Pats played the Bengals. They played the Dolphins, the Bills on Christmas Eve a couple years ago. They've had three Christmas Eve games. This would be the fourth in the last like 7 or 8 years. I kind of dig it when they play during the day, to be honest. It's kind of cool. And then you go home, you have the night. When it's 8 o'clock at Christmas night, that's like prime time for a lot of people that are just trying to spend time with their family. This could be a situation where, look, you know, if the Patriots are like 4-11 or whatever, like I'm probably not going to even watch this. And I'm as diehard a fan as anyone, but I might be tapping out because it's a tough time. And then the Patriots end with two division games, Justin, at Bills and then the Jets at the Patriots. I mean, who knows what we'll be getting at that point. I think those are both tough games. Certainly in the past, you've been able to look at those end of the year division games and look at them as almost padding on the schedule to get a couple easy wins. Not the case this year, as we all well know. So overall, a tough schedule. Given what we know, Justin, about the schedule now, give me a final call on the record for this team now that we're kind of focused in on what the path is.
You know, I wish I could say something different here, but I have to call it like I see it. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say this is going to be an 8-9 team.
I don't even think that's that negative, Justin, to be honest with you.
I know. I think I'm being generous.
Reasonable.
I'd love to be able to say that they're going to be above 500 and contending for a playoff spot, but I think I'm being generous giving them 8 wins.
I'm going to be a shameless fanboy and I'm going to say 11-6, but I'm going to also say something that's real and brutally honest. This schedule has 3-14, 4-13 type potential on it. If this team doesn't get better from what they were last year, if Mac Jones doesn't take steps and they don't clean up the stupid mistakes that have become part of their hallmark since Brady left, which is just so crazy because it's completely antithetical to what a Belichick team always was for 20 years, and the quarterback leaves and now they jump off sides like 3 times a game and give up like 2 punt returns.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. But if they don't do all that and they're not a better team and they get off to a slow start and things don't go well and the pressure mounts, this could be a 4-5-6 win type thing. I don't think that's what's going to happen, but the door is open for that because there are so many tough games, so few games that you can actually count on as wins. You know, like we were saying earlier, you know, you go to that Saints game. Let's say they start off 1-3,
yep,
and then they lose to the Saints, the Raiders, and the Bills. And all of a sudden you're 1-6 and you're going to the Dolphins. Now you're 1-7. Yeah, I know that's a worst case scenario, but I'm sorry. It's not that far out of what I can imagine at this point in the year. They come out and they show they can beat the Eagles in week one. That's going to say a lot for the tone and for what the expectations are and should be and will be for this team. They come out and the Eagles, who on paper appear to be a much better team, and they blow them out, the Patriots out in week one. And then the Dolphins do what the Dolphins have been doing to the Patriots the last 3 or 4 years. And the Jets have the better quarterback now, so they just kind of win. And the Cowboys, we can't keep up with them on their carpet in their dome down in Dallas. Hey, you know, the gloves are off at that point. It could get ugly.
It could get very ugly. I think you're spot on by saying that this really is a team that could potentially win 10, 11 games, but it does have, you know, a 3-4 win season just kind of looming in the background. You know,
when I say 11 games, Justin, I think I'm giving the most best case optimistic
right,
scenario.
Right, exactly. That's like best case. I can't see them. That's not expected. Right.
I'm just being a hopeless fanboy.
Right.
I can't see them winning like 14 games.
Not 13, a chance.
I could see them losing 13 games. Or yes. So, I mean, I don't think that's likely. I think it could happen, but I couldn't see them winning 13 games. I'm giving you the best case scenario, 11 wins. Shameless fanboy.
150%. And look, you know, I said this to you on the phone the other day. When I look at this schedule and I see how tough it is from top to bottom, I see the offenses not only in our own division, but on the rest of the schedule, right? This is 100% why we got a vintage Bill Belichick draft where we loaded up on defense and special teams. Like, it's just so evident. You're going up against some real high-powered offenses. The Christian Gonzalez pick starts to make more and more sense, right? You need a lockdown number one corner for some of these offenses that have 2, 3, 4 really good weapons out there. You can't be giving up 3 points, 6 points, 9 points, you know, on special teams from stupid mistakes. I actually am seeing the schedule like the Patriots draft even more.
I respect that take. I don't think this really changes my feelings towards the draft. I understand what you're saying. You know, they have so many holes on this roster. It's just like, I just feel like you go into the draft, this team has so many holes. Just start plugging holes and the rest of it will figure itself out. Draft good players. And maybe they did that. Maybe they did that. We don't know, but I don't think until this team gets a real offense and a real quarterback, I think we're going to be in the land of mediocrity until showing otherwise. And for that reason, you know, I just feel the same. I really do. I feel the same about this team. Like, it comes down to Mac. It comes down to Bill O'Brien and then building a real offense so that you can go against a good defense like the Eagles, against a team like the Chiefs, against you and you can win. You can go into teams like the Saints and you can outclass them like they used to outclass those right. teams. The Saints are a live dog coming into our stadium. You know, the Raiders, live dog, right? A team that you'd like to say the Patriots win, but it's a close game. Well, guess what? The old Patriots would outclass those teams with firepower when they had to. That's what this team needs to do. If they get themselves into losable games and close games against other mediocre teams, they're going to win half and they're going to lose half. And if they can't keep up with the really good teams on this schedule, they can't beat any of them. And that's why I think that this is like the possibility of a 5, 6, 7 win season is not that unrealistic.
Yeah, totally. But you know what I will say is that there is in you know, it's not that there's been a lack of this in the past, but there are some really exciting games on the schedule this year, right? I love that we're playing the AFC West. I think that's a super interesting division. I think it's a great litmus test for our defense. I think it's a great litmus test for our team overall to see if we can compete with some of those teams. Even some of our non-conference games, right? Like games against like the Eagles, games against the Cowboys. Those are exciting games. And you know what? I'm even okay with, you know, the Colts in Germany. That even excites me a little bit, waking up on Sunday early for a Patriots game. You know, Steelers in prime time on Thursday night. I mean, this is going to be an exciting schedule. Now, will we be excited if they start off, you know, 1-5, 2-6? it's going to be tough. But looking forward, I think it's going to be a very eventful 2023 season.
Well, I said that a couple episodes on the podcast, yeah. and I said that about last season. Last season wasn't a great season. It was an entertaining season.
Yeah.
And I would say the same thing about this year. Look, if they get into week 17 and week 18 and they're mathematically alive and they're hovering around 500 and it's been interesting, then that's, as a fan, okay, it's entertainment and it's been an entertaining year. Last year was not a great year for them. It was an entertaining year for them. You look at this schedule, where this franchise is. If you ask me right now, I'd probably take that again. Give me a somewhere around 500 team that's super competitive and in all these games and has a chance to make the playoffs. I feel like that wouldn't be far from the worst case scenario for this team. I mean, I think the downside or the potential floor of this team is so much lower than that. And I don't think the ceiling is that much higher than that.
So quick question for you now, you know, looking at the schedule now, and obviously there's a long off season. There's a lot to, you know, a lot that happens from now until we actually start playing football. But what would you say needs to happen this year in order for you to not just want them, but feel comfortable with them bringing Mac Jones back for the 2024 season? How does this season have to end?
Mac Jones has to be a top 12 quarterback at the end of this year. He has to be Kirk Cousins. He has to be Matt Stafford. He doesn't have to be Mahomes, Burrow, Allen. It'd be nice. I don't know. We'll see. Probably not very likely. He needs to at least be in that 5 to 12, 13 range for me to say he's back next year.
But so is there a reasonable scenario in your head where Mac Jones could be a top 12 quarterback hovering in that like 10 to 14 range maybe, but the Patriots could still be 6-11?
I'd take that. I think I might take that because I don't want to say that, because at this point, Justin, I think you'd have to question if that happened, you know, is what you see what you get with Mac? Like, how much growth does he have from this year? I think that what I want to see from Mac at the end of this year is I want to be able to say he had a good year. And if we surround him with weapons, he could have a great year. That's what I need to see at the end of this year. If I walk out of this year feeling like this guy is a mediocre player and his ceiling is capped and this team is mediocre at best, I think it's time to blow it up.
So I guess to tie it all together, my larger question, looking back at, you know, what you just said, is at what point do we start focusing on the result of the team in placing more of an emphasis on that than Mac Jones? Like, for instance, would you rather Mac Jones be like an average, like 14, 15, you know, quarterback in the league and the Patriots go 9-8, 10-7, a squeak a wild card? Or would you rather the Patriots go 6-11 and Mac Jones is, you know, the 11th or 12th best quarterback in the league? Like which would you rather, and what would make you feel more comfortable?
I would say that
forward?
Depends on how much growth potential I feel like Mac Jones has. If I walk out of this year, say somehow they win 7 games, but Mac Jones threw for 4,500 yards and 36 touchdowns, and say the defense fell apart and, you know, other problems, I would feel pretty good about moving forward with this franchise.
Okay.
If they're winning games and Mac is playing mediocre, I'd also feel pretty good about this franchise. If they're not winning games and Mac is mediocre or less, that's where your problem is. And that's a big problem, because then you got to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think there is a lot of people with a lot to prove this season in New England, all across the board from top to bottom, including the coaches.
Yeah,
so,
there's a lot.
You know, I mean, we talk Mac Jones in the hot seat, but look, Bill Belichick, I think at this point is in the hot seat.
He is on the hot seat. We didn't talk as much about that.
No,
but he's on the hot
seat. He's 100% in the hot seat.
You give him a 6-11 season this year, I really think they move on. I really do.
Exactly. Bill O'Brien's immediately coming in under a microscope. I mean, you know, and if this defense doesn't work out after all the draft capital and some of the good young talent they have there, then you start to look at guys like Steve Belichick and some of the other pieces in question what went wrong. But But no, yeah, there's a lot of people who have a lot to prove in New England this year. So
there's no question about it. And we're getting closer and closer to the time. There is going to be a huge microscope lens on this team through mini camp, training camp. You're going to see a ton of scrutiny. Get ready for it. We've talked about it. Get ready for the quarterback battle. All summer long, it's going to be Mac with 7-11 for a pick against the ones, but Bailey was 4-for-6 against the, I mean, it's going to be all summer long. That battle, so much, there's going to be so much scrutiny. This is a crossroads year. We said that about last year, but this really is a crossroads year. The rubber hits the road this year. If this falls apart again, I just, to tie it back up to the opening take, I don't see how you can make any more excuses for Belichick first. For Belichick first, because we talk so much about Mac, but for Belichick first and also for Mac Jones. But we're getting there, Justin. The time is drawing closer and closer. We're halfway through May. I think we're going to wrap it up now. You got any final thoughts, my man?
No, it's just, you know, it's exciting. I know we always kind of say this with each kind of milestone in the offseason, but once you get the schedule, you know, the draft is all done. The bulk of the free agents have been signed and you get the next year's schedule. I think that's when it really starts to feel real, because you can start to put things into perspective. There's a lot of time before now, and you know, you actually get real football that matters, but your outlook for the 2023 season across the league can really start to take shape here. And I think it's an interesting time.
I agree completely. And you know, rookie camps and mini camp is right around the corner. So the first look will be here, and we'll be there. We'll be watching, we'll be paying attention. We'll be recording again sometime in the next few weeks as topics and things become available. We want to thank everybody that listened to the Dr. Football podcast. As always, it's a pleasure to record it. Reach out if you have any questions. Do we have a Facebook page yet, brother? We're going to have a Facebook page.
Yeah, we're going to have a Facebook page coming in the works.
So we're going to have a Facebook page soon. So if you listen to the show, you like the podcast, keep your eyes open for that and hit us up. Send us a message. We'll even take questions and maybe even catch you on the air. Okay, because we want to do that. But we look forward to recording the next episodes and want to say thank you to everyone that listened. Have a great week, everyone. And we'll catch you next time. We'll